Good evening once again. You are all welcome and God bless you. Now, just to begin, as I'm about to start, there are some things that I want to give as disclaimers, okay? There are some things that I want to give as disclaimers, things that I want to give so that you can really, really, really look out for them. Firstly, the revival seminar is not you learning things that you have never heard before concerning revival. Now, you may learn some things that you've never heard before, but there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, okay? There's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Gaston says he's not able to hear me. Is that for everyone or that's just Gaston? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, okay? It's very, very important for you to, okay, everyone can hear. So, Gaston, fix your internet. Now there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, because sometimes people come to a seminar, and then in the seminar they have made a payment, and because they have made a payment, the assumption is that, well, because I paid, I should hear new things. Now, when I began to do seminars of which people were paying, the temptation was that because people are paying, I must find them data that is strange, data that will wow them, data that will shock them, information that will blow their minds. So it was a temptation. Oh, people have paid. I just can't teach normally. I must teach strange, strange information. Now, the Holy Spirit warned me against that, and I want you to know this too, because you may find yourself under this trap. When you are doing something, maybe a teaching, whether it's a paid seminar or free seminar or free or meeting where you're teaching on a Sunday, anywhere, or on, you're invited to speak somewhere. I want you to know that it's very, very important for you to understand that when you are trying to look for information that will wow people, seducing spirits and lying spirits are not far from your neighborhood. Okay, and if I were to teach on the errors in revival, this would be one of the errors, which is looking for information that will shock people, looking for information that will blow people's minds. You end up getting all sorts of strange teachings, like my wife was saying earlier. You all get all sorts of strange teachings, and then you teach new age teachings and just say, we'll just add in the name of Jesus. Adding in the name of Jesus does not certify a wrong teaching. You go on the internet looking for information that will wow people. Seducing spirits are waiting because they will take advantage of your desperation to wow people. Okay? They will take advantage of your desperation to wow people and deceive you into the doctrine of demons. And you end up finding yourself teaching strange things. So when I call for a seminar like this one of the things that Feva says, I'm already wowed. Okay, so one of the things that I always tell people is that I'm not really trying to impress you with new information, but definitely you will learn some new stuff. You will learn some interesting stuff. Some stuff will be emphasis to you. Some stuff will be new. So it's very, very important for you to actually just sit down, take note, and pay attention. So we have invested our time, and also we have invested our resources. So you want to make sure you return from this seminar. Take as many notes as possible. Go back home, and when you go back home, begin to, when you go back to your study, begin to expand on everything that you are learning. A revival seminar cannot necessarily give you everything. However, a revival seminar will create platform that will become a stepping stone for your next level. So it is information like this that is helping you, push and, give you greed towards where you are supposed to go. However, we can't stress each and every point concerning revival, in this particular seminar. Okay, so we still have someone asking, saying I'm not clear. So I don't know if that's just me, but they can hear. I'll have it recorded. Okay, so Sword and Pepper says they can hear well. Okay. Great, thank you so much. Okay, thank you so much. And I also see, before I go on, I also see a lot of men and women of God, which is very, very interesting. I see a lot of men and women of God, pastors, leaders, and people from all. So, you know, I'm now wondering, why are you here? Now, the reason why I'm asking is that it's very difficult to teach when pastors are there. So these are people with information, data after data. And then you're now saying, they are now saying, we are going to be in the seminar. So, you know, if you were going to lie or there was something you were going to say that is not true, they will vet it and check it, you know, in the scales of balance, and they may find you wanting. So some of you will be thinking it's the network. Can't you have removed you? If you're a pastor, you just find, I'm about to say something I'm not sure of. I just remove you. You say, ah, I don't know why I keep coming out and coming in. I'm removing you. Okay, now that we are warmed up, allow me to begin. Okay, allow me to begin. So we are going to start our journey. We are going to start our journey from Genesis chapter number 1 and verses number 4. If you're going to start anything, try and start it from Genesis. Let's see what Genesis would do for us. So Genesis chapter number 1, the very beginning. Okay, the very, very inception. Genesis chapter number 1 all the way through to 4. Genesis chapter number 1, verses number 1 to 4. Okay, Genesis chapter number 1, verses number 1 to 4. Okay, and it reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face or the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. Okay? People are saying they can't hear anything. Am I audible? Before I go on, I just want to make sure. I'm really just trying, I'm going to just pace through it because I don't want a situation where people keep disturbing me and say, I can't hear, I can't hear, I can't hear. So I'm just going to pace through it, and the recording is there. But okay, so we have the majority hearing me. Okay, great. So, Genesis chapter number 1, verses number 1 through to 4, and it reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Okay, I think let's end from there, because what I was really, really looking for was verse 3. God said, let there be light. Let's read Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1. Okay? Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1. Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1. Okay? So let's go to Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll just do the scriptures and then I'll begin to explain. Okay, so I'll do the scriptures and then I will begin to explain. So Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Okay, it is close at hand. Okay, then let us read the last scripture, which is Acts chapter number 2. Okay, let us do Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4, okay? Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4. Okay, let's see who's standing on their microphone. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Okay. So. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Sorry, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just muted my microphone. These are spirits. I don't know. I didn't press any button, but it just muted me. Okay, thank you so much. Powers from my father's side and my mother's side. Okay, so I'd read Genesis chapter number 1, verses number 1 through to 4. Okay, in the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Let's go to Joel chapter number 2. Okay, Joel chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 1. Okay, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand." Let's read Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4. Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4, which is a common portion of scripture. Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues." Okay? As the Spirit enabled them. Okay, verse 2 is my focus. "Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind." Okay, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Now, we are going to begin our journey from here. Okay, I want to talk about some of the pillars of revival, and I'll specify, so I'll not talk about the pillars in general. Now, it's very, very important for us to understand that every revival that God sends to a region, to a territory, or to a nation usually has pillars upon which it is anchoring on. Okay? Usually has pillars upon which it is anchoring on. So every revival, okay, every revival has got pillars upon which it is anchoring on. And it's very, very important for you to understand that a revival will have pillars of which it is anchoring upon. Some revivals, you discover that the pillar upon which that revival is anchoring upon is praise. So you find that's the pillar in that particular revival. In some of the other revivals, you may discover that the pillar upon which it is anchoring upon is radical holiness. So you may find in that revival, the consistent emphasis is the message and the subject of holiness. So you will discover that throughout every revival, there was an emphasis. In other revivals, you will find the revival is anchoring upon healing. So the healing gifts are very alive in that particular revival. For example, in the Voice of Healing movement, one of the things you see that was very consistent in that movement was that God had raised many healing evangelists. So there were many people that were moving in healings, the Jack Coles, the Oral Roberts, and all these people that found themselves in this Voice of Healing movement. So there were different pillars that revival was anchoring upon. So you have to understand that every revival has got pillars it is anchoring upon, and it is those pillars that are holding that revival. It is those pillars that are steering the revival. It is those pillars that are fanning to flame the revival that God is sending to a generation, to a region, and to a territory. So it's very, very important for you to actually understand that. Now, I want us to talk about the revival in Zambia, because I believe there is a mighty move of revival in our nation. Okay, now it may not necessarily be at the peak, you know, that you have read in books, but I believe there is something extraordinary happening, and we are starting to see, you know, just the outer fringes of it. We are starting to see the very beginnings of this particular revival. Something is being stirred up. You know, many years ago, it was something that you don't even imagine, that you'd gather thousands in a stadium to pray for 24 hours. The other day, as I was traveling back from the Copper Belt, I saw a video, you know, that people had shared from church okay, of how people were drunk in the spirit in town, you know, singing a burning generation, okay, singing a burning generation, and people were just drunk in the spirit and, you know, enjoying God in town. It was such a lovely video to watch, such a beautiful moment to actually witness and just watch. So I was just really, really glad. And the backstory behind that, in case you didn't get the backstory and you just saw the video, the backstory behind that is that I think the bus from church had overloaded. And so you can correct me if you were there, but I think this is what I got from the text messages I was seeing. The backstory is that the bus had overloaded and the police stopped the bus. And when the police stopped the bus, people started praying. As they were praying, the power of the Holy Spirit hit them, and people got drunk in the spirit. I think the story should have been like that. And people were not necessarily ashamed to groan in town. People were drunk in town, and I saw some people looking and some people were viewing and seeing what is happening. But this generation is just unashamed. They are just willing to go after their God, and no one, you know, and nothing rather is going to stop them, because they're just hungry. Meanwhile, there were some years ago, people were even scared to worship in church. But now you are seeing people are free to worship even on the streets. Okay, the other day I saw a video, the team in Chilanga, okay, the team in Chilanga had gone to do an outreach, and they were giving out flyers for the conference that is happening over this Saturday. And they were just giving out flyers. And I was seeing people groan on the streets, praying on the streets as they were giving out flyers. There was a move of God that is being stirred. And you may be wondering and you're asking yourself, why is it that these things are happening? When a move of God hits a territory, all the blockages, all the boundaries, the demonic interference and the demonic resistances in the territory and in the region fall off. And when those demonic resistances fall off, people are free to worship their God. People are free to express themselves. And I'm telling you, in a few months, few days from now, we will hear stories of people going to a wedding and turning the wedding into a Holy Ghost party. We will hear people go, to a funeral, and the funeral, you know, becomes a resurrection service. We'll hear, and it's not so far from now, because one of the things that happens in revival is that revival happens at three categories. The first category that revival happens in is what is referred to as personal revival or personal visitation or a personal awakening. This is where God awakens the individual. He awakens you as the believer. You have an encounter with God and he awakens you at a personal level. Then when God awakens individuals at a personal level, which has already happened in the revival calendar of Zambia, many individuals have been awakened at a personal level. And then the second revival or the second awakening that happens is what is referred to as the church awakening. This is where God begins to awaken the church. Okay, he begins to awaken the church. The church starts to receive an increased measure, of the presence of the Lord, outpourings of the Spirit over the church. There is a move of God over the church. There's things happening over the church. Now, when God comes over the church, he is not to be confined in the four corners of the church. He starts with the church, but the church is to spread the move to the ends of the earth, to the nations. So what started in Jerusalem starts to spread, you know, to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So after the church is awakened, God now stirs another revival. The revival that awakens the nation, the revival that awakens the globe, the revival where we ask for nations and God grants us the nations. And it's very, very important that in agreeing that Zambia is a revived nation, you don't necessarily need everyone to agree that Zambia is a nation of revival. The few people that agree that Zambia is a nation of revival are enough, because there are priests that can stand in the gap and agree on behalf of the nation of Zambia, saying that Zambia is a nation of revival. When Joshua said, "As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord," the household did not have to agree. He said, you know, there was no narrative. No, iwawa sumina. Ngai wena usumina. Have you agreed? Have you agreed? Have you agreed? There was no questioning. When Joshua said it, "As for me and my household, we are for God. You know, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we'll worship the Lord. There is an individual right now that will rise and say, as for me and the nation of Zambia, we are for God. And the moment you make that decree, there is a national outpouring. There is a national awakening that is being spread. So we are seeing outpourings of the Spirit, moves of God. You know, the other time I saw someone coming from the bus. They didn't even enter the church. You can imagine. One of the things that happens is when revival starts to intensify, God enlarges the territory of glory. He expands the territory of glory. So it's not just glory that people are experiencing at a personal level. It's not just glory that people are experiencing at the church. It's glory that begins to spread and people are experiencing it in the nation. I saw a bus come to church. You know, I remember I was just walking out of church and I was going, I think, to the bathrooms or something. And the bus coming into church, the bus just comes in and people are coming out slain and being lifted from the bus. I'm wondering, did they come from another church service? Or what's going on? Why are people coming in slain? We were used that people will come from church going into the bus slain. Now people are coming into the church service slain. Why? Because the expanse of glory, the territory of glory has been expanded over a region because of the revival that is being stirred. So it's very, very important for you to understand that revival happens at those three levels. Now, I want to talk about the nation of Zambia and the revival God is stirring within the nation of Zambia. Remember, we are still talking about the pillars of revival. Now, the revival that has come to the nation of Zambia is anchoring on two strategic pillars, at least as I see it right now. But I know there are many other pillars, but there are two strategic pillars upon which the nation of Zambia, upon which the revival in the nation of Zambia is anchoring upon. One of the first pillars is called sound. The second pillar is called prayer. So the revival that God has sent to the nation of Zambia is anchoring on two pillars, okay? One strategic pillar being sound and one strategic pillar being prayer. Now, I know there are other pillars, but these are the ones that the Lord has shown me. And these are the ones that I think have been sent as, you know, the pillars that, you know, kind of are at the beginning of sorts, if I can put it like that. So, you know, prayer and sound are the two strategic pillars upon which this revival in the nation is anchoring upon. So today I want to talk about the significance of sound in revival, and more specifically music. Because you may be wondering, why is it that we are in a season where all these things are happening, sounds are being released, things are happening? It's because that the revival that has come is anchoring on these two pillars, sound and prayer. Now, you read from Genesis chapter number 1, when God begins in the account of creation, there was chaos. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep, and everything was in chaos. And then God spoke. He released sound, okay? And when he spoke, everything started coming into order. Everything started coming into alignment. So every time God wants to stir something, sound is one of the avenues that he uses to stir something in a region. So when God noticed that there was darkness over the face of the deep, okay, one of the things he did is that he spoke. He released a sound, and that sound brought light. And that is why revival is usually accompanied by sound, and we'll look at that. When the early church was beginning, the early church began with a sound. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Acts 2:2. The sound of a violent wind, okay, you know, came in their midst, and we see the revival that sprang forth. Peter arises, speaks a powerful message. 3,000 are added to the church that day. A church that started with 120 ends up being 3,120. Why? Because sound was released. In the olden days, you will see that every time they are about to announce a new season, they are about to announce something beginning, sound was one of the things. They will blow the trumpets. They will sound the trumpets. And as they sound those trumpets, something is ushered in because of the supernatural sound that has been released. So when God now looked at the nation of Zambia and he wanted to send a move of God in the nation of Zambia, one of the things he released over the nation of Zambia is sound. And that is why sounds are now being birthed, sounds are being born. So there is a significance to sound in the midst of a revival. Now we want to look at the significance of sound, and I'll teach those and then I'll end from there. We'll continue tomorrow, depending on where we'll end tonight. The significance of sound in a revival. Number one, Sound brings revival or ushers in revival. When God releases a sound, sound ushers in revival. Now, every revival is preceded by a sound which manifests through different channels. It can be music. It can be a message. It can be a cry. It can be a summoning in the spirit. People begin to hear a clarion call. People begin to echo a sound. People begin to release a sound. And as they are releasing that sound is ushering in a revival. So in Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4, we see how that when God wants to begin with the outpouring of the last days, he begins with a sound. Okay, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. So God will usually release a sound, and that sound will usher in the move of which God wants to release to a generation. That sound is manifesting in different forms. It may manifest through music. It may manifest through a message. It may manifest through a cry. All of a sudden, you begin to hear men begin to weep and cry. Intercessors will begin to arise. There is a sound that is rippling through the nations. In some of the revivals, you will see that some of the revivalists that I read of, you know, many of them would notice that there was, you know, there was an apathy within their generation, and many of them began to echo a cry. They began to release a cry. Some of them would kneel and pray, "Oh God, that you'd come in my generation." Some would pray, "Oh God, give me Scotland or I die." They began to echo a sound. Now, it just looks like a declaration that was echoed, that someone said, "Give me Scotland or I die." And right now, you know, we use it when we joke as Pentecostals or as revivalists, you know, or as commandos or as people that just enjoy spiritual stuff. You know, sometimes people just use it as a joke and say, "Give me Sister Joy or I die. Give me Sister Joy or I die. Lord, give me Chipata or I die. Give me Kanyama or I die." And we use it as a joke. But I can assure you, the men that released that sound, that aligned to heaven and picked that vibration from heaven, then they released it over a territory and began to cry, "Oh Lord, that you would come." You know, men who had such a great dissatisfaction, you know, I always talk about this, you know, that men would have such a great dissatisfaction. On one of the accounts of revival, it was written that, was it Lake? I can't remember if it was John G. Lake. You know, that such a great dissatisfaction flooded my soul concerning the state of Christianity that I would go to bed crying. And you know, these men were crying out, "Oh God, that you'd move." And the moment they began to echo that sound to the generation, people began to get gripped, you know, with the move of God. People began to get gripped with the move of God. It was said of William J. Seymour. I don't know if you guys know William J. Seymour, who was, you know, one of the leaders in the Azusa Street Revival. It said, it was written about him in one of the revival books I have of him, that, you know, his words had so much weight that when he spoke, he would reduce people to tears. And so when his words started carrying so much weight, he had to be careful how he uses his words, because every time he spoke, he would reduce people to tears. The conviction power, the weight on his words was so intense that when the man spoke, he would reduce people to tears. Imagine being told that your words are carrying so much weight, you have to be careful how you speak. You have to be careful how you utter words. The same was true with Father Daniel Nash. For those of you who don't know who Father Daniel Nash is, Father Daniel Nash was the intercessor of Charles Finney. Charles Finney, you know, would travel around the nations preaching the gospel. And Father Daniel Nash was the man that interceded for him. And there's a good book by Paul J. Reno, which is called The Prevailing Prince of Prayer. I encourage you to read it. You know, now, many accounts of Father Daniel Nash, that one time I think he's asked to pray. You know, I think they had served some food and Father Daniel Nash is asked to pray at that dinner table. And the man began to pray for the food. The cry that came from his voice stirred a revival and no one ate, because the power of God was so strong. And so that sound that is being released is not a natural sound. It's a supernatural sound. This is what happens when God begins to intertwine, you know, his sound to your natural sound. And the moment you speak, you are not just releasing words. You are releasing spirit and you are releasing life. So there is a sound that God is releasing. One of the other sounds that he will release will be through a message. There will be men that will begin to preach holiness. Men like Leonard Ravenhill, you know, when those men begin to speak and they are talking about holiness, you will feel like giving your life to the Lord again, even if you gave your life to the Lord some time back.
Because there is a sound that they are echoing. And the moment people begin to hear that sound, revival breaks out. Revival begins to break out. I was reading an account of the Welsh revival in a book called World Aflame, written by Rick Joyner. It was written that when the account of the Welsh revival, the stories of the Welsh revival were discussed in other regions, revival broke out in those regions too. All they were doing is hearing the stories of what is happening in another region, and revival breaks out in that region also, because a sound is being echoed, a sound is being released, okay? And the other thing that God does is that he releases it through music. And this is what we may focus on tonight. So God will begin to release sounds. He'll begin to release music, melodies, harmonies, you know, symphonies that he will release over the earth. And when those symphonies and sounds are heard, those sounds usher in a move of God. Those sounds usher in a revival. I don't know if you've heard of the sound Amazing Grace. Have you heard of the sound Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch. You know, that Amazing Grace song was written by a man called John Newton. Okay, he wrote so many hymns, hundreds of hymns. Okay, he wrote a sound or a hymn called Amazing Grace. It wasn't initially called Amazing Grace, actually, but they tweaked it later on and started calling it by the first words of the song, which is Amazing Grace. That sound was written by a man called John Newton. Now, that sound sparked a move of God in the Second Great Awakening. Okay, so the Second Great Awakening, one of the things that sparked the Second Great Awakening was the sound by John Newton called Amazing Grace. When people began to hear the sound, Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me, thousands would give their lives to the Lord. People would be weeping hearing that song. How Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. And people began to cry out to the Lord, oh Lord, we come before you. We repent of all our sins just by hearing a sound. So sound brings in revival. Sound ushers in revival. Sound will bring in a move of God. One of the sounds that ushered in a revival in Matt Redman's church. I don't know if you guys are aware of the song. What's that song again? I'm trying to remember it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for, you know, that song by Matt Redman. Now, do you know the story behind that particular song? Now, in Matt Redman's home church, which was called the Soul Survivor Church in England, which was in Watford, somewhere there, something happened in that church. There was great apathy, okay? There was great apathy in the church. People were apathetic. People were no longer responding to the things of God. People became familiar with the things of God. People were not enjoying the presence of the Lord, you know. So it was just a cold church, and people had become apathetic. So Matt Redman decided to do something drastic, and he did something radical. And that is why one of the things I believe that stirs revival is a radicality. So one of the things he did is that he decided that we will cut off the PA system, okay? We will cut off the PA system from the church. We will cut off every musical instrument. We will cut off everything. We will just be coming, and it will just be raw church, you know, because people were anchoring, you know, the move of God into different things. So he decided, we are cutting off PA system. We are cutting off every sound. We will just be coming to church and enjoying God. Okay, an account of him I read says this. There was a dynamic missing, so the pastor did a pretty brave thing. He recalls he decided to get rid of the sound system and the band for a season, and we gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship, and the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Oh boy, I love that. Let me read that again. There was a dynamic missing, so the pastor did a pretty brave thing. He recalls he decided to get rid of the sound system and the band for a season, and we gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship,
And the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away, reminding his church family to be producers in worship, not just consumers. Because people were just consuming from the PA system. People just want to hear Dr. Lukundo. People just want to hear how the tune is. And you will notice that some people have become consumers in worship. They will not. When we say let us worship, there's no sound. No one worships. But the moment, you know, we add ambient sound, you know, to it, and ooh, and you hear that ambient sound, and all of a sudden everyone says, oh Lord. No, it means you are in the consumer generation. You need to be producers. Can you echo a sound? Can you release it even when there's no instrument? And so he decided to cut that off. So reminding his church family to be producers in worship, not just consumers. The pastor, Pilavachi asked, when you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as your offering to God? Matt says the question initially led to some embarrassing silence, but eventually people broke out into a cappella songs and heartfelt prayers, encountering God in a fresh way. That is where the song was birthed. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's not about the instruments. It's not about the PA system. It's not about the lights. When that sound was released, revival broke out over the church. The move of God came, you know, praise and worship. You know, people were praying. People were going after God. Why? Because a sound was released, okay? A sound was just released. I'll bring you more than just a song. I love those lines. You know, a sound was released. So sound ushers in revival. When you align to the sound of God, when you align to the sound of heaven, that sound will usher in a revival. And that is why it's very, very important for us to understand that even for people that write songs, people that write music, it's very important that when you begin to write, don't write from the earth to the heavens. Write from the heavens to the earth. Excuse me. Let me say that again. When you write songs, don't write from the earth to the heavens. Write from the heavens to the earth, okay? So you go up so that you can come down, okay? You go up so that you can come down. So when you ascend into the realm of heaven, it is to pick the vibration there and then release that vibration over the face of the earth. When you release the vibration over the face of the earth, that vibration stirs something in the hearts of men. It stirs something in the hearts of men. So revival, sound ushers in revival. Music ushers in revival. I'm now wondering, who will pick that sound that will bring in the move of God? You may be listening right now and you're saying, well, Pastor Cham, I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer. But I can assure you, men like myself who do not sing, okay, I'm not a singer, but because I ascended up high, and part of the reason also is I feel because the people that are supposed to pick the sounds are spiritually deaf. So God is even using men that can't sing to pick sounds. That is why you find, oh, Pastor Cham typically has a sound every week. You're wondering, how is it that a man who can't sing, he doesn't have a voice for it, is picking sounds every week? Because the people that are supposed to pick sounds are spiritually deaf. So God gives sounds to men that can't even sing. I need a hunger for Jesus. Yeah. And as people are singing that sound, a move of God is breaking out. You know, a hunger is being stirred. I was in Kitwe over this past weekend. The people did not even know the song. And I preached on a Sunday. I preached on a Friday and then I preached on a Sunday too. The Sunday service was, you know, a demographic of older people. And many of them could not even, some of them could not even speak English. They couldn't even understand it. So they couldn't even understand what was going on. But the moment I began to release that sound, and I'll sing it so that when you listen to the recording, you say, this man's voice is bad, but how come God is trusting him with sound? You know, and I was singing that, and when I sang that, the move of God just came over the room. People were encountering God, experiencing God. One old woman came to me and said, but iwe kwena tata ulalanda. Shachila umfanofu wachila landa muchisungu chowe, but tata kwena ulalanda. Na kumfa win. And then she gave me thumbs up and she says, keep it up. Okay, keep it up. Kwena tata ulalanda iwe. And she does not understand it, but the sound resonated. The sound started to awaken something within her heart, that when she heard the sound reverberating through the atmosphere, something was stirred up. So sound ushers in revival. That's the first significance
of sound. It ushers in revival. So we have so many people that are spiritually deaf that are not picking sound and releasing it. Okay? But however, even if you don't sing, you can pick spiritual sound and release it to your generation, and your generation picks it up and it stirs awakenings in different places. You know, many times people don't even know where the hunger for Jesus came from, and it doesn't matter for me, to be totally honest. I remember, you know, I was at Unza and I found people singing, "I need a hunger for Jesus." And I was there, you know, I said hi to them. They didn't even know that's the guy of whom, you know, that sound, you know, pierced the nation through. You know, they just looked at me and they said, "Oh, okay, they are singing something." I said, "Oh, well, praise God." You know, God will entrust us with sounds that will usher in revival. So the first significance of revival is that, I mean, the first significance of sound is that it brings in revival. Okay, it brings in revival. The second significance of sound in a revival is that sound ferries us or carries us, okay, to a realm that we are hungering for. Okay, the second significance of revival is that, of sound, is that sound ferries us or carries us to the realm that we are hungering for. It ferries us or carries us to the realm we are hungering for. Now, I want you to listen carefully. In a revival, there is usually a stirring in the hearts of men for a realm that sometimes people don't even have greed for. Okay? So there is a stirring in the hearts of men for a realm that people don't have a greed for. So you feel there is a realm you want to pierce through. You feel there is a place you are to go to, but you don't even have greed for where you feel you should go. Many of you right now are at a place where you are sensing a deep hunger. You are sensing a longing for more. And if I asked you, the more that you are longing for, the deeper encounter that you are longing for, the more that you are longing for, can you describe it for me? If I asked many of you, you would not even be able to describe the more that you want, but all you know is that you want more. If I asked you, okay, yes, you want more, but what does that look like? Many of you don't know, but you feel an insatiable hunger on the inside that is just making you feel like there is something I want, there is something I want, but you don't necessarily know what you want. So there is a stirring in your heart that you have no greed for. There is a stirring in your heart that you may not even necessarily have earthly template for, but you are hungering for that particular realm. Now, sound, when things like that begin to happen, sound becomes the transport to usher you there, because sound is a transport system. Sound transports spiritual realities. Sound transports frequencies from heaven into our space. Sound can usher you into realms that you want to go into. So sound becomes a transport system. That is why even in the demonic, when they want to transfer spirits of lust, one of the mediums upon which spirits of lust travel upon is sound. So you will now hear what is referred to as pornographic lyrics. And when you are listening to the pornographic lyrics, okay, or the sexually explicit lyrics, on those sounds, there are spirits of lust that are intertwined. That is why the Bible says, "Blessed is he that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Because when sound is being released, there are spirits intertwined to that sound. And the spirits that are intertwined to that sound can grip your soul. That is why people listen to a sound and they are hearing sounds. "I'm going to take you from the club. I'm going to take you to the bed." I don't know those R&B songs people used to listen to. And you are listening to those songs and you notice that lust begins to grip your soul. Why? Because that sound was ushering you to a realm. Every sound ushers you to the realm of which it was initially birthed. The purpose of sound is to usher you to its place of birthing. So every time a sound is released, it ferries you to the place of which it was birthed. If the sound was birthed from a place of immorality, the moment you hear that sound, immorality will grip your heart. You will notice that the more you hear that sound, immorality grips your heart. If you hear a sound that was concocted, a sound that was cooked from a place of, you know, depression, deep, you know, spirits of heaviness were the ones that cooked that sound. The moment you hear that sound, you will be depressed, even though you don't know why you are getting depressed. All of a sudden, you start crying over a heartbreak that you have not experienced. You know, have you heard people say that and they crack those jokes on the internet and they say, you know, there are some songs you just listen to, you start crying over a heartbreak you've not experienced. Those are spirits. Don't just say, no, you have not had an ex before. You know, you have not had an ex before, but wambo kudida pali ex. You are ex. And you're wondering why you are, the sound has, it's ushering you to the spirit of its birthing. Okay? So it's very, very important that you understand that sound ferries us to realms. Sound ferries us to, you know, to places of which it was birthed. There was a song called Suicide Solution, okay? I can't remember the people that sang the song. There was a song called Suicide Solution. And everyone that, I mean, many kids that heard that song, it must have been in the 90s or the 80s, I can't remember. Many of the people that heard that sound, okay? Many of the people that heard that sound would jump off a cliff and, you know, be celebrating whilst, you know, jumping off a cliff and dying. People would, you know, commit suicide and they would feel as though that was the best thing. It was almost as though they were high on something, where someone is saying, I'm free at last, because they felt the solution was the suicide. After hearing the song Suicide Solution, the sound was birthed by suicidal spirits. And so because the sound was birthed by suicidal spirits, everyone that heard it was being ferried. Sound is an usher. You know how you walk into church and you're looking for a seat and an usher ushers you to a seat? Sound does the same thing. When you begin to hear it and you step into an arena, sound will direct you to a seat. It may direct you to the pornographic seat. It may direct you to the suicidal seat. It may direct you to the depressive seat. Sound ferries us into realms. It ushers people into realms. And it's very, very important for us to understand that sound is an usher. It's a transport system. In case you notice that something is delaying, just find sound. You will notice that sound will accelerate. Okay, it will accelerate. It will push you easily. When you notice that you're finding it hard to pierce through a realm, bring in sound. Sound will usher you. Okay, so sometimes when a generation, now coming back to the revival, sometimes when a generation wants to achieve much, they discover that it is difficult to achieve it until sound aids them. So sometimes you will realize that you are trying to push into long prayers. You are trying to push into fasting. You are trying to push into deep, deep, deep things. And you are finding it hard to pierce into those deep experiences. You are finding it hard to pierce into the thing you are longing for as more. Now, because you are finding it hard to pierce into those realms, what heaven does to aid you, to transport you into what you have been hungering for, or into what heaven wants you to move into, heaven releases sounds that play as transport systems. And the moment those sounds are heard, that sound becomes a transport system that aids you into the realm that you have been hungering for. So every revival will have a sound that plays as a driving force to push men to where God wants them to be. So in revival, there will be sounds that will play as driving forces, transport systems that will push men to where God wants them to be. Now, right now, as you can see, one of the things that happened first is that God started to release sound. Before the prayer move in the nation was birthed, God started to release sounds. And the sounds were what were aiding us. Okay, the sounds were what were aiding us and pushing us into the realms that God wants us to be in. So God starts to release sounds, and as we are hearing those sounds are driving us into the realms we are hungering for. That is why many of you right now, you are at a strategic point where you notice that the songs you are now enjoying are different from the ones you enjoyed many years ago. You're wondering, why is it that the songs I'm enjoying now are these types of songs? Some of you right now, it's even difficult to listen to a song with words. All you want to listen to is chants. There's no word there, and all you're hearing is, ah, And you're wondering, how is it that just listening to that is what it's because that is why chants have come to our generation now. Chants are not an old thing. Chants are not from the devil, even though they were more active there. The people in the demonic knew how to use chants. And for many years, let me address chants, because chants have been a problem. Many fellowship leaders text me. They get inspired by what's happening either at KCCI or in the marathons. And many of them begin to tell me, we started doing chants and people are questioning, why are we chanting? What is this? So some people are taking them to their church and people are saying, Mwalambo buloshi mwe. Mwalambo buloshi. We are chanting. So people are now wondering, why is it chanting nishi? Now, the chants in themselves were not birthed by the devil. The devil just stole from the kingdom. And that is why there are some terminologies that we need to restore back to the kingdom. Words like mystery are becoming more common. Okay? Words like mystery are becoming more common. In times past, only the new agers were using it. So even there is even some vocabulary that is still in the fall that we need to restore. There are still some things that are still in the fall that we need to restore. Now, we're not copying from the devil. No, we are just getting what is allotted to us as believers, that the devil made us to believe is demonic. Okay, we are taught to make, we're taught to make melody in our hearts, you know, singing song, talking to each other in psalms and hymns, you know, making melody in our hearts, releasing symphonies, releasing harmonies, okay, to a generation. Now, chants, for a long time, were being used by all these people, and in the demonic, in witchcraft, they had been using chants, and they made us believe that chants are demonic. Don't touch them as believers. Don't touch chants. Don't go for chants. Those are from the devil. And so the devil succeeded in doing that. And when he succeeded in doing that, there were realms that were cut off from us. And sacrificial living, praying long, was cut off. Meanwhile, you will notice that witches can be up from midnight all the way up until 5 and still be fresh. And you're wondering, what is driving them to that place that they can be bewitching the whole night? A witch is flying the whole night, flying the whole night. You just try and pray some. You say, I ascend better with the immortals at night. Before it is even midnight, you are dozing. Ule follow ma. Leke ni ndale ine. Leke ni ndale ine. Ile ya kwa Adamu. Nala follow ma. Ah. For those of you who understand Bemba, you understand that. Nala follow ma. Hey. So you notice that it's difficult to do. Then God knew that something was, you know, missing. People want to go to a deep realm. People want to go to higher dimensions. However, the current sound that is in view, okay? The current sound that is in view cannot ferry you. That is why many of the sounds, excuse me, that is why many of the sounds right now are not ferrying people into certain realms. So God decided to awaken chants. Many people started pioneering that way, releasing chants, releasing spiritual songs. I should believe many of them came from Nigeria. We saw a lot of people begin to chant, and we saw the word becoming more comfortable in many congregations, and chants and sounds are being released. And what happened is that when the chants were being released, believers who were weak and feeble became mighty men listening to these chants. Believers who were mighty, who were weak and feeble, all of the sudden came alive. Believers who could not pray for hours, the moment they begin to hear the sounds start to ferry them. Because remember, sounds are transport systems. Sounds usher you. Sounds drive you into a particular realm. So all of the sudden people begin to hear, I remember listening to that sound months ago. I remember listening to that sound. I was typically just praying and I was so weary and tired. And I don't know how I just stumbled upon it. We thank God for the YouTube algorithm. Sometimes it partners with heaven. And all of the sudden, I just found that song. And I just saw, I'm like, what song is this? It's just So I clicked on it. And when I clicked on it, I was really weary and tired. And all of the sudden, I began to hear, hey, 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 hey.
of the sudden, it was like I got on a train. It's like I got on a chariot, really. It's like, it almost felt like I got on a different transport system. My tongues took different shape. All of the sudden, I began to pray, and I felt life come on my tongues. And I began, and I prayed long, and I was pushed into deep realms because the sound that came transported me there. That is why God in the marathons has been releasing sounds, okay? God has been releasing sounds in the marathons. He's been releasing sounds. The reason why he's releasing sounds is that the sounds are to ferry us to realms we are hungering for. They are to ferry us into realms we are hungering for. Every sound that has ever been released in the marathon has ushered in something. When we sang the warrior chant, you know, in the 36-hour prayer marathon, everything for me, yes, sir. You know, will you tarry? Will you tarry? Yes, sir. It seemed like we were just singing that sound. What that sound led to was 21 days of fasting, 30 days fasting. Templates that we have never done before. Why have we been ferried into that space? It's because of the sound that was released. And the moment you hear that sound, it's like you are implicated. You may think as though you are joking in the marathon, just say, yes, sir. You're just jumping. Yes, sir. What happens after? You'll be shocked that that sound was not just a sound. It was a coronation ceremony in the spirit. You were agreeing that I'm given to a life of prayer and fasting. Some of you are wondering, how did I get here? Me that loved to eat. It's because the sound that came ferried you and ushered you into that particular realm. So it's very, very important for you to understand that sound drives us into those particular realms. And that is where chants are actually coming in. Okay, God is actually releasing spiritual songs through chants. And the reason why he's releasing spiritual songs through chants is that there are realms he wants us to go to in this revival. But we can't go there with the current sounds. We can't go there with the current songs. The songs that are from the earth will not drive us there. The songs that are from the earth will not drive. We need songs that will ferry us to where they were birthed, from that realm of heaven. So now people are just saying, oh no, you know, Mwele sande shana, nde shana, nde shana, nde shana, na mono wali nde shana. It won't take you anywhere. It won't. I'm telling you, that's why, you know, someone told me, ine manimbo ni malemba che easy. There's a guy that told me this. Ine manimbo ni malemba che easy. Fast. Manimbo yaku church. Nima vula che Bible. Paske. And he says this. He said, ine nima vula che Bible. Nifala che menso. Nika vula che Bible. I'm saying it in Nyanja because he said it in Nyanja. Nika vula che menso. Nima vula che Bible. Pamene iza vulikira. Pamene apo. Pa. Nika wana che vesi kamba. Oh, okay. Ambo kuimba kukeni. Eh, molongo ni wabwino. Molongo ni wabwino. Eh, ni mvela. It won't bring in what is supposed to come, but God will begin to release heavenly sounds. That is why you don't need too many words in a sound for that sound to become impactful. You may just need one line. Just one line, and it wrecks a generation, ushers an entire generation into, you know, strange realities. You know, one of the sounds that I really like that gets us drunk at church is, I will not leave until I am drunk. I will not leave until I am drunk. Until I am drunk. So drink. Drink till you drunk. Yeah, drink. Drink till you drunk. When that song is played, something extraordinary begins to happen. And when I went to Pastor Gen Hankope's church, they had a very powerful song there as well. You know, I says it's actually theirs is in Bemba. Ndefwayo kukolwa ukukolwa mumupashi wa mushilo. Ndefwayo kukolwa, ndefwayo kukolwa. The moment we get the chords to that song at KCCI, it's over. I told Sashi we need to get the chords. The moment we get the chords to the song, it is over. Because the song just has something on it. I remember hearing it at the overnight, and people were doing things I would not normally expect people to do. The sound was carrying something. The sound had something on it. It was ushering us into a realm. Do you know one of the realms that the sound Iakwa David ushers us into? It ushers you into shameless dancing, shameless expression of your love for your maker. I have seen people dance dances they're not supposed to dance. If I show you your videos, you will be shocked at your video.
Ilie ya kwa David, dum dum. Ilie ya kwa boom 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 boom. Ilie ya kwa David.
Na lie, people. Hey, did you see how Pastor Gifty, people? He forgot everything. Okay, because sounds will usher you into a particular realm that you are hungering for. So some of you, what you are longing for is intimacy. I'm telling you, you will hear a sound that will take you into such deep intimacy with your lover, such deep intimacy with your maker, such deep intimacy with God. There'll be sounds that will be released. So in this revival that we are in, there's need for many people to pick sounds, whether you are a musician or not. Pick sounds that will usher in what is coming. Every time you notice that there is something you want to pierce through, but there is a limitation, look for the sound that ferries you to that place. I'll say that again. Every time you begin to notice that you are longing for a particular realm and reality, but then there is a hindrance to break through into that realm, look for a sound that will usher you into that realm. For example, someone told me that there were witches that were fighting them in the family, and they were trying to do warfare prayers. We had taught them warfare prayers. They had tried. Nothing was happening. Nothing. We taught them. They were trying to move into, you know, warfare authority. That authority was not coming on them to wage war. The moment I sent them a short clip, it was a 30-second clip. That clip implicated them and ushered them into a realm of war. And they began to wage war. They were praying as though they were authority. People were so scared at the authority on their voice. And the sound they heard is ascend with the drum. Kutika. Bibidibabidiga. I don't know what the tongue sounded like. You know, when they heard that, warfare came on them. Because sounds will ferry us to realms that we need to press into. So every time you notice that there is a reality you must press into, but there is a limitation, find the sound that ferries you to that particular reality. Very, very important. The third significance of sound in revival is to shift culture. Okay? The third significance of sound in a revival is that sound shifts culture. If you want to shift the culture in a space, you change the songs people sing. Every time you want to shift the culture in a space, change the songs they sing. When you want to shift culture in a space, you must change the songs that people sing. When you change the songs that people sing, it will shift the culture in a particular environment. Let me give you practical examples on this particular one. Okay, before I give the examples, let me tell you this. Do you know that you only produce to the degree of your declaration? You only produce to the degree of your declaration, or to the, if you want to sound like, if you want to rhyme, you only produce to the degree of your decree. Okay, that sounds more like, you know, it's revival seminar worth my money type of statement. Okay, so you can quote me. You only produce to the degree of your decree. So it's very, very important to understand that sound is a declaration. So every time we are releasing sounds, we are decreeing something. And everything that we are decreeing, we are releasing in the atmosphere. And the thing of which we are releasing in the atmosphere can shift culture. If you want to understand the culture of any congregation, look at the songs they sing. Let me say that again. If you want to understand the culture of any congregation, look at the songs they sing. Start to look at different churches right now within the context of your mind and start to think about them. You will be very, very certain and sure, at least 95% of the times, that the songs they sing have determined the culture they have. Okay? The songs they sing have determined the culture they have. When you want to shift culture, infuse it in song. And that is why within the context of our church, okay, when we wanted to see the presence of God in the church become an evident reality, I told the church, you can't sing sad songs. You can't sing na fikosa ukwabula imwe na like you know you can as you can't sing such songs, okay? You can't sing that such songs. So one of the things that we did is that we started to infuse the songs that propagated the culture we wanted to see. So because we wanted to see the culture of the presence, the songs we started to sing were songs of the presence. When we want to draw close to God, we started to sing songs that help us draw close to God. I'm a lover of your presence and it's all I want to be. I'm a lover of your presence and it's all I want to be. I remember one time, you know, we were just trying to draw close to God. And one of the songs we were singing is, "It Will Not." And it was Home by Bethel Music. And in that moment when we were in that phase, I don't know if you guys ever visited us in that phase. But I remember during that phase, the only thing I'd need to say as a pastor, it was so easy for me to sing it. All I would say is, "It will not." And the church would respond, "It will never be enough just to know about you, Jesus, and never call you my own. For my heart was made for love. I can live without." You know, people would be crying in church. You know, the moment I just say, "It will not, it will never be enough," and people would be crying, "Just to know about you, Jesus, I never call you my own. For my heart was made for love." And the people would just be weeping, you know, because we wanted to see intimacy. And so we integrated it within our song. And when we integrated it within our song, it changed our culture. Okay? The people that change culture, I think Blaise Pascal must have said something like this, even though he was not so spiritual. He said, the people that change the culture are not the people that write the policies. And I'm paraphrasing him. The people that change the cultures are not the people that write the policies. The people that change the culture are the people that write the songs. So when you want to bring in a particular culture, you start to put it in your sounds. Why do you think people pray like that in the marathons? It's because of the sounds that are released over the marathons. You must be intentional, okay, about the sounds you are releasing in comparison to the culture you're trying to build. If you want to build a culture, you know, you want to build a culture of revival, sing songs of revival. All of the sudden, revival will break out in the church. But sometimes I travel in different institutions and in different churches, and I see that they are crying out for revival. But I see the songs that they are singing. The songs they are singing are far from revival. You can't achieve it. People must begin to sing it. They must begin to envision it in songs. You want to start seeing a lot of miracles? Start to sing songs that exalt the name of the Lord as the miracle worker, the one that does supernatural acts, the one whom nothing is impossible through. You begin to sing songs like that, you will create a culture of the presence. You will create a culture of the supernatural. Some of you right now, you are worship leaders in your churches. Some of you, you are leaders that can make some strategic decisions. Some of you, you have got the ability to pray that God would speak to your leaders. One of the things you should begin to pray for in line of the culture you are trying to build is that you must insist that the songs that are sung are consistent with the culture you are trying to build. When you sing songs, for example, I don't allow people to see, you know, people see, what do people sing again? There's this song, you know, and you know, "You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share glory with any man." That is not scriptural. Of course, at that present revelation, it was okay. But as you begin to read more, you will discover that he actually does allow us to share in. It doesn't mean that we get his glory. No. He does allow us to share in. Okay. As he glories, we also glory in him. So it's very, very important for us to understand that there are certain songs you shouldn't sing. You're singing that God is far away. you know, ah, woku dali sana, you will not experience him as the God who can visit your church and visit your space. Why? Because the songs you sing are creating a culture that God is far away. So whatever culture you want to create, add it in the songs. If you want to see a church, okay, if you want to see a church that has people experiencing God, you must be intentional. You must become a spiritual architect, a cultural architect. And the way in which you become a cultural architect is by adding it in the sounds. So in revival, God starts to release sounds that bring in the culture he wants to propagate. So have you seen many of the songs that are being sung now are prayer related songs? Excuse me. I will pray. Aduakeo. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. I need prayer power. Prayer power. I need prayer power. 24 hours is nothing tonight. Pray or die. You notice that songs like that are coming out. And they are creating a culture of prayer, a nation of prayer, because sounds are being released that are shifting the culture. Someone is saying 24 hours is nothing tonight. That is creating a culture of the fact that people have this radicalness that 24 hours, whether even 24 hours, today we must bring this mountain down because of the sounds that are being released. So sound is very, very important in the shifting of culture. If you want to see a sad church, sing sad songs. You will see that you have that type of a culture. You want to see a happy church, you want to see revival break out in a certain way, begin to sing songs like that. And I'm so glad now because we're going after the nation. And because we were going after the nation, we started having some sounds that are national sounds. Zambia pray. Zambia groan. When I pray, things which I can't remember the melodies of some of these songs, things change. I need to go back to that recording. Okay, so let's do number 4 and then I think we'll end there for the night. Okay, let's do number 4. Okay, the 4th significance of sound in revival is that sound ushers in the prophetic. Sound ushers in the prophetic or allows people to step into prophetic realms. Now, the prophetic is a major part of any revival or move of God. The prophetic is a major part of any revival or move of God. That is why the church was founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Ephesians 2:20. Okay, Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So you will now find that because sound ushers in the prophetic, music will be fought by the enemy. Okay? Music will be fought by the enemy when true minstrels rise. Okay? Prophets also rise. So the enemy is fighting music. Why is he fighting music? Because when true minstrels rise, the rise of true prophets is also near. That is why you will notice that there are some sounds that help you prophesy. Have you noticed that there are some sounds you'll be struggling to pierce through the prophetic realm? The moment a certain sound is played, the prophetic over your life is awakened. You can pick words of knowledge. Why? Because that sound has actually been released. So the enemy fights music because music ushers in the prophetic. And when the prophetic is ushered in, when the prophets arise, okay, the enemy furthermore goes on to fight the prophets also. That is why many prophets have a proud demeanor to their voice, because many of them have faced so many battles. So let me give you the breakdown here. The enemy is fighting the release of sound because the release of sound will usher in the prophetic. But if he fails to fight sound, the prophets will arise. And when the prophets arise, he goes to fight the prophets. And when he fights the prophets, many of them get frustrated. And when they get frustrated, that is why you have many prophets having a proud demeanor to their voice. You know, I don't know if you've noticed that, but many prophets have got that proud stance, proud demeanor. And the reason why many of them have that proud demeanor, proud stance, is not necessarily that all of them are bad people. Many times it's because many of them Okay, many of them have been fought so many times that as a defense mechanism, they started responding things like, I can't miss. I can never miss. The reason why they are saying that is many of them have been fought so much. Okay, this is me digressing. Many of them have been fought so much, so they feel the need to respond to the attack that has come. But many of the genuine prophets, if you meet them, many of the genuine apostles, if you meet them, you discover many of them are some of the humblest people. But however, because they've been fought so much as a defense mechanism, many of them develop that, defensive demeanor. Okay, so you can hear them say, I can never miss. I have never missed. I have been in this game for 25 years and I have never missed. Okay, when did this become a game that, you know, you entered in? So you find people, what are some of the phrases that are proud? You know, I've heard things like, you know, I see your face, I prophesy. I see, you know, I once went to an overnight and one man said, Kuna misesem abonse overnight, yonse bonse misesem. And we were a lot, we were about 300 or 400. You know, Kuna misesem abonse ngana kuloresha. Inen shakwata shakwata ti nuwe bonani. Bonse kuna misesema, you know. Now, sometimes that comes when a lot of them have been, some of them are just genuine people. They just love God. But the attack has been strong. Okay, we're still talking about sound, but I'm digressing for a moment. A lot of them have been fought so much, being called all sorts of names. You are false, you are fake. This is guesswork and the like. So when they begin to speak, say, Ninga ambileche ku left, ku both cities lachan. You know, and some will even go as far as I can prophesy starting from your boxers, going all the way to your socks, going, you know, all these things. It's an attack from the enemy. The attack on the prophetic gifting is what is causing many genuine prophets to begin to respond in this proud demeanor. Okay, because of the attack over their lives, and then they've not aligned to God to help them. So now, The prophetic is really, really key, okay? The prophetic is really, really key, and prophets should not be fought. The genuine prophets should not be fought. Every time a generation fought genuine prophets, that generation truncated a revival. Why? Because revival needs prophetic direction. Excuse me. Revival needs prophetic direction. Every revival will need prophetic direction. And so because revivals need prophetic direction, it's very, very important that prophets arise. But before the prophets can arise, prophets need minstrels, musicians that will usher in the sound, as it was in 2 Kings, okay? Which is one of my favorite portions of scripture when I talk about this. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Okay, chapter number 3 and verses number, let's see, from 14 to 15 there. Okay, Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I will not pay any attention to you. But now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, it says the hand of the Lord came on Elisha. So what was happening is that Elisha, the background story here is that Elisha is called to give a prophetic instruction. He is called to give prophetic insight over a particular matter. Now, when he is called, one of the things he does is that he calls a minstrel to play. And the Bible says that as the minstrel was playing, the hand of the Lord rested upon him. Then he moved into a prophetic dimension and released prophetic utterances. And when he released those prophetic utterances, you know, things happened later on. You can read the scriptures after. Okay, of the things that actually happened. But it had to take a minstrel to help him move into that prophetic direction. The reason why God is releasing sounds is that there are many prophets that will be activated by the sounds. There are some of you will hear a song that will be released. You will find it on YouTube and 3:15, 2 Kings 3:15. You will hear a sound, and that sound will be the sound that awakens your prophetic gifting. That sound will be the sound that awakens your healing gift. That sound will be the sound that awakens all the vocal gifts, you know, the utterances, you know, the prophetic, all those will be activated, diverse kinds of tongues, you know, interpretation of tongues. You will notice the moment someone is worshiping and releasing sound, all of the sudden you will notice it will be easy to interpret tongues. You will notice it will be easy, you know, to speak in diverse types of tongues. Have you noticed that there are some sounds that will even change your dialect? You will go into diverse types of tongues as you are listening to those sounds, because those sounds are to bring in a particular reality. They are to usher in the prophetic. So when the prophetic has reached a state where the prophets cannot prophesy the revival, the prophets cannot peep into heaven. Listen, we need the prophets to peep into heaven to tell us the next season, to tell us what our next response should be. Because I can assure you, we need prophetic direction. We need prophetic insight into the calendar of heaven. We must know, what is heaven doing at this strategic time? What is heaven's emphasis on the nation of Zambia? You must know, what is heaven releasing over this particular nation? It takes a prophetic anointing to peep into the realm of heaven and see what heaven is doing in its prophetic calendar over the nation of Zambia. But many of those prophets cannot peep into the realm of heaven because the sound that is supposed to be released to help them release the prophetic has not been released. So supernatural sound must be released. People must begin to pick sounds and release it in a revival. That is why in churches, in different institutions where you serve, in ministries, ensure that the music team, the band, the sound team is not just a team that is there for the sake of, oh, they are just a team that passes time. If your church, your ministry, your institution has the music team as a group of people that just, you know, are passing time as we wait for the pastor, as we wait for the man of God. Okay, para tuero a man of God. Okay, inbe fompule npochimo. You know, because tuero a man of God na bachero. Okay, inbe nfitatu. That's not what the music team is for. When the music team begin to release things, when the music team begin to sing, people's eyes should be open to the realm of the spirit. Do you know that there are some sounds when you begin to hear, your eyes start opening? Have you noticed that when certain ministers begin to minister, all of the sudden hearing God becomes easy? Why? They are echoing a sound, and that sound is what is making things easy. Someone told me, every time you start to chant or every time you start to sing, I easily see angels, or I easily perceive angelic ministry. Every time you are chanting, I easily perceive angelic ministry. It seems like the angelic comes close when you begin to chant or when you begin to talk. Why? Because the sound of which I am releasing is ushering in the prophetic, and people's eyes are opening, visions and dreams. There are people, when they begin to sing, spiritual deafness, the clogging that has been in people's ears is plunged out, and all of the sudden you become like a portal, a hub. When people hear your sound, you are like a hotspot. Ears begin to hear, eyes begin to see, scales begin to fall off, veils are lifted. Why? Because you are releasing a sound that is ushering in the prophetic. Is it sound through music? Is it sound through your voice? Is it sound through what you are saying? Is it sound through your drums? You know, I've heard people, you know, comment even over Dr. Lukundo's instruments. You know, someone said, I can't remember what someone said, but they said something like, you know, it helped me go into the realm of the spirit or something like that. Visions and things just started happening when I was just hearing him play the drum. That drum is not just that you are hitting that thing. No. There's an anointing released through those sticks. There's an anointing being released as you hit that drum. It's permeating. That is why you must always ensure that the sound of which I am reverberating to my generation is a sound that is releasing something in the atmosphere, a vibration of frequency from heaven that is allowing people to experience God. Your sound should create an environment for prophetic hotspots. Every time people hear you, your sound should create an environment for prophetic hotspots, that people hear you and they begin to pick things. 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 Sometimes people wonder, every time Sashi gets on that keyboard, sometimes people say, your team is so professional. Sometimes I wonder, what do they think? Because some of the things we are just practicing there and then. But literally, I was in Kitwe
You know, at 3 a.m. I'd wake up to pray in my lodge, and the next room, I think, or the other room is where Sashi was, and I could literally hear him praying by night. 3 a.m. I'm praying and I can hear him. By the time I'm done at 6, he's also done at 6. When we got to the meeting on a Friday, you know, touched those keys, the power of God exploded within the meeting. Why did the power of God explode? It wasn't just that he was just playing that keyboard. No. The sound was creating an environment. And if anything, you can, no one, if you notice, I know many professional people that I can engage. I don't engage them because many of them don't pray. And because they don't pray and they are not given to consecration, they can't align to the sound of heaven. They can't ascend to descend with the melodies of Zion and release them into our environment and create prophetic hotspots so that the prophets can begin to hear. Listen, we are a body. And because we are a body, there are some that will release the sound. And when some release the sound, what will happen is others will begin to prophesy. You know, that is why you notice when Saul came to the company of prophets, he found them playing instruments. Instruments and prophesying. Why were they playing instruments? They were stirring the prophetic unction. They were stirring the prophetic anointing. So they were playing musical instruments, playing harps, playing, you know, timbrels, playing all these different instruments. And as they were playing those instruments, they were stirring the prophetic anointing. And the prophets began to prophesy. For example, if we go to war, let me give you the last one. Number 5 is that sound ushers in warfare. You will read Judges chapter number 7, verses number 20 to 22. And I'm just going for it right now, so I'm not going to slow down. Judges chapter number 7, verses 20 to 22. When Gideon defeated the Midianites, they went with a sound. It was a sound that they released. So sometimes what we are doing is that we are going to war. And the reason why the church is losing many spiritual battles, because I can assure you, revival is warfare. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is warfare. You are not just praying that the kingdom should come. When the kingdom come, it should replace or displace the kingdom that was previously there. So if the kingdom that was previously sitting on the throne is a demonic kingdom, when you pray your kingdom come, you are displacing another kingdom. And that displacement is called warfare. So when we go to war as children of God, the warfare of which we are fighting requires that we have many people that are partnering to ensure that we win the warfare. Some people in the warfare are warriors. Some people in the warfare are prophets. Some people in the warfare are marketplace apostles. Some people in the warfare, you will discover that they are worship leaders. But you see, we hinge on each other. So sometimes when we go to war, what we need to win the warfare is a prophet to give us direction over what we should do next. The prophet may need to say, what we need to do to win this warfare is we need to offer sacrificially, because that is the signal that has come from heaven for us to win that warfare. But you see, that prophet cannot hear because the people that were supposed to release that sound have not released that sound. So we remain dormant because the people that were supposed to release the sound for the prophets to awaken have not released the sound. And because the prophets have not heard the sound and have not seen what is the strategic idea to win the warfare in heaven, they can't give it to the warriors. So the warriors are going into warfare without knowing what they are supposed to do. They are just fighting anyhow, fighting without spiritual intelligence, and many warriors are dying in warfare. And it all starts because the people that were supposed to release the sound did not release it. So because the guys that were supposed to release the sound did not release it, the prophets did not awaken. And because the prophets did not awaken, we don't have prophetic direction. And because there's no prophetic direction, the warriors are going to war blind. And because the warriors are going to war blind, we are losing battles. And because we are losing battles, a generation is coming into obscurity. And many of God's children are held as captive, as slaves to the devil, because sound was not released in our environment. So you see the significance of sound, that it will help us even in warfare. Don't just take it lightly that, oh no, for me it's just okay. Even if you are a preacher, you must pray so much that your voice carries such a sound. You are a musician, you must pray so much that something about your music carries such a sound. We are in a strategic season in this revival. Strategic season. Sometimes there's something I'm trying to break through, and sometimes I'll start to talk and I notice it seems like the words are inside, but they are trapped in my spirit. The words are inside, but they are trapped in my spirit. I'm talking, but there is no utterance.
And all of a sudden, I'll tell someone, get on the keys. I may say, Sashi, get on the keys. The moment he begins to play those sounds, it almost seems like he has unlocked something in my spirit. An utterance comes upon me. And when utterance comes upon me, I begin to talk fluidly. Sometimes I'll be talking fluidly. I'll not know what I'm saying. Things will just be flowing out. It'll be like a tap that is gushing out. And I'll be speaking with such fluency, such accuracy of speech. And I'm wondering, how is this happening? It's because sound has come, and that sound has created a hotspot for me to pick different things. So there is a great significance of sound in a revival. So don't trivialize it. Don't think we are just in a season where, you know, chants are just happening. Things are just happening. No. They are not just happening because, oh no, chants are the trending thing. You know, you hear people say, no, chants are just, you know, it's the trending thing. No, it's not just a trend. Allow me to tell you that spiritual songs, chants, and the things of which God is releasing through music and sound are not just a trend. There is a realm God wants us to pierce through. There is a place God wants us to go to. And because he wants us to go to that particular place, he is releasing spiritual songs, melodies, and harmonies that are playing as transport systems to usher us there, to carry us there. Some may release sounds that take us into prophetic dimensions. Some may release sounds that awaken warriors. Some may release sounds that awaken marketplace apostles. We need those sounds. It may reverberate through a message. It may reverberate through the drums. It may reverberate through instruments. It may reverberate through your music and your singing. It may reverberate through your preaching. It may reverberate through your speaking when you talk to people. There is a sound that you must echo. There is a sound in this revival. There is a great sound. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. We pray that in this strategic season, you will grant us sufficient grace to understand what it is that you are doing through sound, that we will understand the significance of sound in this revival, that as we echo that sound, that as we echo that sound, as we release that sound, as we release that sound will shift something. That sound will usher in the prophetic. That sound will shift cultures. Who will release that sound? Is it a sound in song? Is it a sound in preaching? That when people begin to hear your sound, something happens. Many of the places I've visited, many of the places in different regions, many of you may be enjoying some revival in Lusaka. I can tell you something. When you visit some of these other places, you'll be shocked at the cultures in those places. But when you start to release those sounds, culture begins to shift. Culture begins to shift. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We ask, oh God, that you give us sound. You will align our voices. You will align our utterances to heaven. You will align everything we are saying to heaven. That when we release that sound, it will be spirit. It will be life. It will be revival. It will be a supernatural release. Lord, I pray that in each and every person here, as the people begin to speak, as they begin to sing, as they begin to play their instruments, whatever it is that they are doing that helps them release that sound, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that each and everybody here will have such supernatural sound that whatever it is that they say, wherever it is that they go and they echo that sound, revival breaks out because a man spoke. Hunger grips the souls of men because a woman stood and spoke and said that a generation is for the Lord. And all of a sudden, that generation began to burn for the Lord because they heard that sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So, praise the Lord. So, we are going to end here for the night. Mariah, I can hear you. God bless you as you are laughing. Whatever it is that is interesting you, we thank God. So we will end here for the night.